if we would only get a hold of the fact that He's God, and as long as we obey Him, as long as we please Him, what will He do for us? Anything we ask Him for. And that's wonderful, isn't it? So we want to try our best to please the King. So He says, take a lesson from the ant, you lazy bones. That's what He's calling us. You lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. Even though they have no prince, no governor, or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. And you know, I used to watch those little guys out there on the farm. They are the workingest little guys. I mean, you'll take a field and they'll come in and they'll have a trail. I mean, they literally will cut a trail in the grass down to the hard ground. Looks like a little highway down there. And those little guys are going and coming. And they're going out there at that field and they're getting all them little grains of grass or grains of oats or wheat or whatever. And they're picking them heavy things up and they're carrying them. It would be like you and me carrying them for miles. You know, and they bring it down, put it down in that den down there so they'll have something to eat. And to think they don't have anybody whipping them saying, let's get it done. They don't have a ruler. They don't have a prince or nothing. They just work. And then they share in the food all winter long. So it says, you know, use them as an example. They labor all summer gathering food for the winter. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? I want you to learn this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Be an early riser. Get up and get something done. Spend some hours. You know, don't work 4 hours a day and sleep 20. Work at least 16 and sleep 8. You know, don't even cut it half in two. You know, don't work 12. Work 12. I will have to say, Cheryl, I went to bed last night about 1. I got tired last night and I was doing some things and I had worked hard yesterday afternoon and I did a whole lot of things yesterday and then I come in and I sure wanted to go out and get enough brick to kind of out there behind our back door. Rosemary loved it, didn't you, Rosemary? It was so muddy getting out to the trash can. So Cheryl, after I got home, of course, when I first got home, I was so tired. It was about an hour before dark. And she said, are we going to put some more brick out there? And I said, no, the brick are going to have to wait. Well, when I sat down and had a little bite to eat, you know, and I drank a glass of iced tea, I got my second wind. So I told her, okay, we'll run out there and we loaded the pickup with brick and we put another big bunch of brick out there. And of course, when Rosemary walked out and saw that, she loved it. She said, I don't have to walk in the mud no more. You have to walk on those brick. So anyway, after that, then I come in and I was so hot. I thought, well, I'll cool off a little while and then I'll go take a shower. And as I cooled off reading emails and answering emails and making phone calls and all kinds of stuff, I finally realized that I studied a little too. I finally got kind of sleepy and I thought, I need to go take a shower. I looked up and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. So I told Cheryl, I said, I'm going to bed. She said, I'll be right back there. So she came back there and I took a shower and I went to bed and she washed and I folded clothes and she finally came to bed at 4 this morning. You know, so, you know, she puts in lots of hours. She puts them in at a different spectrum than most people. You know, she goes to bed at 4 and gets up at noon or 2 or something like that. You know, she sleeps in the daytime when I'm working. We got our calendars reversed, she and I does. You know, she's always worked at night and I've worked night and day. But I always get up a whole lot earlier than she does because I'm younger than she is, you know. I work harder, you know, I can work longer. I can work my young wife down, I'll have to say. Praise the Lord. She knows I can too. She'll tell you that I can outwork her. Praise the Lord. That's why God gave me a young woman. He knew one my age wouldn't be able to keep up with me. Praise the King. Glory to God. You know, that's just the way it is. Here is a description of a worthless and wicked people. They are constant liars. Now, this is what God has to say. They're signaling their true intentions to their friends by making signs with their eyes and feet and fingers. Now, how many times have you know anybody that will do that? People that will make cutting eyes, you know, or do things with their feet, you know, and whatever, and all kinds of stuff. God says here is a description of worthless and wicked people. You know, I used to do a little bit of that until I read this proverb one time. I thought, Lord, I don't want to be a worthless and wicked guy, so I'm going to quit this nonsense. I'm not going to do that no more. Was that what he said? He said, here is a description of worthless and wicked people. Do you want God to call you worthless and wicked? I don't. So I'm not going to make signs with my eyes, you know. And, you know, I mean, you know, you tell somebody something, and I know none of y'all have ever been guilty that somebody tells you something you don't believe. And so instead of just having no expression, you say, oh, goodness gracious. Anybody ever been guilty of that? Sure we have, yeah. You know, we've all done that. So I'm trying my best not to do that anymore, because God says if we do that, we're worthless and wicked. So we need to have no expression. You know, I mean, if somebody said you're going off the deep end, I may be, but if God said it, I'm going to do what he said. I'm going to work hard and diligently at doing what the king says. If he says, here is a description of a worthless and a wicked person, and then he tells me that they are constant liars, number one, I don't want to be a liar, do you? I don't want to lie about anything. I want people to know when I tell you something that it's the same every time. I don't want to tell a lie. You can't tell a lie twice the same way. You know, you'll get caught in it real easy. And then he signaled your true intentions to their friends by making signs with their eyes and their feet and their fingers. So, I don't want to do that. Their perverted hearts plot evil. They stir up trouble constantly. You know anybody that just almost is always stirring up trouble? Yeah. Well, when somebody's like this and they're doing these things here, God's calling these people worthless and wicked. You know, so I don't want to be one of them. So, but they will. But, oh, but look what happens if they continue to do this. These people will be destroyed suddenly. Do you want to be destroyed suddenly?
No.
I don't either. I'm gonna have to tell Deborah's little story again. You know, that was such a good one. She told me about the other day whenever she was getting up in years a little bit here, or young, wasn't a teenager no more, and God hadn't brought her a husband, and she got all upset with him one night. She was just reading him the riot act. God, what is this? You know, you haven't brought me a husband. All my friends are getting married, you know, and I don't have one. And, oh, she was just fussing at him. I mean, that's what she told me. That she's back there shaking her head. That's what she was mad at God. And God come back and says, told her something like, you need to be patient. I have something better for you. And she said, man, I fell on my face and began to repent. Was that the first time you'd ever heard his audible voice? That was the first, and that got your attention, didn't it, Deborah? Yeah, you want to hear his voice, but you don't realize when you're screaming at all, he's listening. Wow. But yeah, but it definitely got her attention. You know, so whenever God's doing something in her life, just realize he knows what he's doing. So thank him for everything he's doing in your life, knowing that he knows better for your life than you do. You know, now, of course, you know, who knows? But how many times do you know a man or a woman, especially a woman, that she says, I guess I'm going to be an old maid, and she's maybe 25 or 30 or something like that, and she's fussing and she wants a man, and so God finally brings her one. It wasn't the one he had set aside for her, but because of all her grumbling and complaining, he finally brought her one. And she loved him so much, she thought she married him, and then found out she was unequally yoked. In other words, she loved him so much, she could just thought she could just eat him up. And then the 6 months after she got married, she wished she had to eat him up because he was so mean and so wicked. Y'all know where I'm coming from? So wait on God. He has a plan for you. Be patient with what he's given you, and just be patient, and he will bless you. He's just like he told Deborah, I have something better for you. And so we don't always understand God. God's ways and my ways are not always the same, that's for sure. But he said, their perverted hearts plot evil. They stir up trouble constantly, but they will be destroyed suddenly, broken beyond all hope of healing. Do we see people like that? People that you can't get healed? Yes, I've had many people that I've prayed for that's died. Now, this could be some of those people. You know, they plotted things, done things, and they had upset God to the point where he said, okay, I've given you, who knows, it may be 10, 20, 30, 40 years of this. And finally, one day he says, that's it. I've had it. We're not going to go any further. And you will be destroyed suddenly. And so something comes down and upon you, and you get sick and afflicted. And then, of course, then you start, when the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's no hope, then you start looking around, is there a God somewhere? Is there somebody with a healing ministry? Now, I ain't been interested in no healing ministry till now. But now I need to know, is there such a thing out there? And then they call me, and for some strange reason, this is something that's taken Cheryl a while to get used to. She said, honey, this man, they called and said, he's in the hospital, he's critical, he's dying. They want you to come down there. I said, well, I'll pray. What? Won't you just run in the car and go down there? I said, no. I got to pray first. So I pray, and she said, what are you going to do? I said, I ain't going. And then you get a nice email from somebody who says, you know, I don't understand this. Will you mind explaining this to me? You prayed over a woman you didn't even have time to talk to, and you got her arm healed. God did a miracle. Now, yet this man, you say you've got to talk to.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.